Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
Just in a moment. I want to begin this morning as we look at Psalm 119 with a fun question. I've thought about this before because back in the day when I played baseball, not everybody had one of these, but if you had a walk-up song, what would it be? Because you know, even now, even kids, they have walk-up songs. Everybody has a walk-up song. Do you know what a walk-up song is? You know this, right? If you've ever been to a baseball game, you've heard walk-up songs as each player steps to the plate. A clip of their chosen song plays for 10 or 15 seconds, and that short piece of music for them sets the tone, doesn't it? It reflects something about them. That's one of the fun things about going even to a high school game. You listen to those to say, what is this player all about? Who they are? Maybe it hypes them up or calms their nerves or shows off their personality or just generally gets in the zone. Before a pitch is thrown, before there's any outcome, they're stepping up to the plate and saying, this is who I am. Now imagine for a moment if for us as Christians, we had something like that, something that before any outcome, before the day even started, the very first thing that kind of played in our head was some sort of walk-up song that would set the tone, that would calm our nerves and say something about who we are. In this next stanza of Psalm 119, beginning in verse 121, we get an idea of what's playing in the psalmist's head as he faces every situation in life. And to be sure, the situations particularly that he's facing that we've seen throughout Psalm 119 is not necessarily the most desirable of situations as far as this world goes. In fact, he says it again in Psalm 119, verse 121. He says, do not leave me to my oppressors. And so what he is feeling is these difficult situations that he finds himself oppressed before any outcome. I believe there's this song that's kind of playing in his head that he's approaching these situations with. Listen to it for a second again. He says, give your servant a pledge of good. Again in verse 124, he says, deal with your servant according to your steadfast love. Again in verse 125, I am your servant. And again, he goes on to say it again in the next stanza. He says in verse 135, make your face shine upon your servant. And so what I believe this psalmist, something that we need to hear this morning at Riverside Church, is the way that we walk into any situation, the way that we step to the plate, the song that's being played in our head should be, Lord, I am your servant. Now, to be sure, this is not the only place that we see this in Psalm 119. Some 14 times this word servant is used, but certainly we see it kind of condensed together in these next stanzas as he says it three times in four verses and repeats it again in the following stanza. And we see this also in the New Testament, don't we? That we as Christians, we are bondservants of Christ. We are servants of Christ. That this is part of our identity, of who we are. That as we roll out of bed in the morning, as we brush our teeth in the morning, as we try to face the situations, as we try to go back to school and get back in the routines and all the things that we're facing, what we are stepping into with the song playing in our head is, Lord, I am your servant. We see this with the Apostle Paul, don't we, as he begins many of his letters before he even says that I am an apostle. Primarily, he says, first of all, that he is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So not just the psalmist, not just the Apostle Paul, but every Christian, as we brush our teeth in the morning, as we step to the plate, as we roll out of bed, we say, Lord, I am your servant. This is our identity. This is our confidence. This is the calmer of our fears. This is the very purpose by which we live. When we hear this playing in our heads, we know that this is who we are. This is what defines me. that I am a servant of the living God. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that has the potential to change your life? Do you think that that just might have the possibility of transforming this year at school, students? That if you walk in the building every single day and say, Lord, I am your servant, here we go. Before any outcome, before any test, before any assignment, before anything, you walk into the building saying, Lord, I am your servant. Fathers, do you think this might change your life as you walk into the house after a long day and you don't know what calm or chaos might be meeting you in that house? And you walk through the door and say, Lord, I am your servant. Do you think that might change your life as you walk into the job that maybe you're not too excited about going back this afternoon or tomorrow morning, and you say, Lord, I am your servant. Use me how you want today, no matter the oppression or the difficulty. Do you think that just might change your life? I think it will if we realize this. And so that's what we're going to see in these next two stanzas. That's big picture. That's the main point. We are servants of the Lord. That's what he says here. The oppressors are after me, but I am a servant of the Lord. I want us to see this in these two stanzas to help us describe and to see what it means to be a servant of the Lord. Two big words we're going to see. In this first stanza, in verses 121 to 128, we're going to see, as his servants, Lord, we depend upon you. So in this first stanza that we're going to see this morning, we're going to see that we are dependent as his servants. And then in verses 129, to kind of give you a roadmap here, verses 129 to 136, in that stanza, we're going to see, Lord, as your servants, not only are we dependent upon you, but we're desperate for you. And if we get those two things in our heads and we start walking in that way, I think this just might change my life and your life this morning if we understand who we are, if this becomes our walk-up song. Are you ready for it? As your servants, we depend upon you. As God's servants, verse 121 to 128, we walk into every day and into every situation dependent upon our Master. In the previous stanza that Vic preached on a couple weeks ago, the psalmist has his eyes on the holy God. He fears the Lord and desires to keep his commandments. And even so, he says, walking faithfully, he says, I have done what is just and right. Even as he walks faithfully, a servant who is walking faithfully with this master, that does not mean that your life's going to be easy. And this is what he says, I've done what is right and just. And then he says, do not leave me to my oppressors. And if we are honest with ourselves, we start to understand and see in our lives that we don't have the resources that we need to satisfy our soul. We don't have the resources we need to see every situation that we need to see in the light of who God is and what he is doing. It seems here in the stanza that the servant of the Lord he's having a little trouble seeing. It's almost as the lights are kind of going dim a bit. Like, God, I'm over here. I'm walking in your word. I'm trying to do what is right. Please don't leave me to my oppressors. I'm living, though not perfectly, according to your word. I have a clear conscience. I'm trying to live my life according to your word. And let me just say a little side note. Some of the most difficult and fun situations, this doesn't mean we do this perfectly, right? We still struggle this side of glory, of perfectly keeping God's word. But I'm telling you, there's no greater joy than I've had over the years of maybe sitting in the conference room with people that are struggling to follow the Lord, and I maybe point something out into their lives and say, hey man, this is a way that you're not following the Lord, and then like they start following the Lord, like with God's strength. That is a beautiful thing to see, and this is what the psalmist is saying, like I'm reading my life according to your word, I'm letting the word read my life, and by God's grace, I'm seeking to follow you with everything that I have, and Lord, I'm realizing that I have not weaned myself off the dependence upon you. And we need to realize that as God's people. Like there's no point in our lives. I've done what is just and right. I'm living my life. So God, I don't need you anymore. Like I got this now. I've moved past grace. I've moved past the gospel. I've moved past kind of dependence upon you. I got this now. Like you put the training wheels on and you helped me ride the bike, but I'm going to take it from here. That's not the song of a servant. A song of a servant says, Lord, I'm walking with the Lord according to your word, and I'm more dependent upon you than ever. How many of you in your Christian life, like the more you follow and know the Lord, the more you realize just how dependent you are upon him? Day in and day out, more and more. And that's hard, right? We're independent people. This whole nation, we're independent people. We pride ourselves in independent and not needing help from nobody. We depend upon him. As his servants, we are dependent. Jesus tells us this, doesn't he? In Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about your life. Seek the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek to walk according to his law, according to his word, and all of these things will be added to you. You can depend upon me because I am dependable. And I've said it in my word. I've proven it in your word. I've told it in my word. You can trust me at my word. Do you depend upon him? Servants of the Lord are dependent upon the Lord, and we never wean ourselves from dependent upon the Lord. Listen to what he says here. Give your servant, this dependent servant, are you ready here? Verse 122, give your servant a pledge of good, and let not the insolent oppress me. So here's what he's saying, Lord, I depend on your promise to be good to me. I depend upon you to protect me. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Do not abandon me. Do not leave me alone. What he is saying here, man, this verse is rich. I spent a lot of time in this one verse, particularly this week. What the psalmist is saying, as your dependent servant, God, would you guarantee my well-being? Would you guarantee good for me? Like, Lord, you've promised good to me. Would you guarantee it to me? What the psalmist is saying is he's dependent on God, and this idea of being a guarantee, some of your older translations might say a surety. It hints at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22, that says Jesus is the guarantor of our salvation. What he's saying is, I'm dependent upon you, Lord, as your servant. I can't face my oppressors. It's too much for me. I can't face that situation. It's too much for me. And so what I am depending upon you to do is to step in the gap for me and step in my place and deal with this on behalf of your servants. Now, this is rich. An old dead theologian said it like this, Lord, since the proud cruelly rush upon me to destroy me, interpose thyself between us as if thou were my security. And he went on to say, God is said to become a surety for us, just as if one finding us indebted in a large sum of money, he discharged us of the obligation by paying down the money to our creditor. We're starting to get hints of the gospel here, aren't we? Are you starting to see that, Lord? I depend upon you to step in my place and pay the debt I cannot and never could pay. Promise good to me. Step in my place. And the way that good is promised to me, if you step in my place. Now, this context of Psalm 119 is asking the Lord to step in the gap for him with this particular situation that he's dealing with, this maybe material or physical affliction that he's dealing with. But, brothers and sisters, you know that at the cross of Jesus Christ, Jesus acting as our guarantor of our debt, as the one who took the debt that we owed upon himself, Hebrews 7:22 uses this language as well, that he is our pledge of good. This is what the psalmist points to now what ceases to be a metaphor at the cross of Jesus Christ, that at the cross, God really did interpose himself between us and our debts. Our eternal debts, not just our temporal debts, paid in full the entirety of our obligation in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why Hebrews 7:22 says that Jesus is the guarantor, the surety of a better covenant. Jesus is the guarantee of God's goodness to us because he steps in our place. He accepts all the liability of our sin, all of it, so that all the blessing of his grace, all the goodness of his grace might be ours and paid in full, not by us, but paid by him. Wow. That's good news. His grace is more than a match for our sin. His power is more than a match for whatever we face. We won't spend that much time on every verse, but that verse is worth spending a little bit of time on, isn't it? God, give your servant, walk into your day. God, I need good. And I look to the cross of Jesus Christ, and I realize that I don't keep your word perfectly, and if I was to look at the merit of my own self, I would be doomed, but I look to Jesus, who is the guarantor, who is the guarantee of all who come and trust in him are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, or covered in his grace, or covered in his goodness. I want to serve a master like that. Don't you? And so you walk into every situation saying, Lord, you have stepped into my place. You have promised good to me. You have been good to me. You went to the cross for me. You paid my debts for me. You have healed me. You have ransomed me. You have restored me. You have set me free. You have conquered. You have dealt with all the record of debt that stood against me. You have conquered the grave. You have risen again. You're coming for me. No matter what I face, I'm good. And this life is yours. Because without you stepping in my place, I would be absolutely doomed. But you have stepped in my place. That is true for all who would come to Christ and by faith receive him and become his servant. God, I depend upon you to do good to me, to step in my place. And Lord, in verse 123, not only to step in my place, but we've already seen this some, that my eyes long for your salvation and the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Lord, I depend upon you not only to do good to me, to protect me, to step into my place and to promise good to me, but Lord, I depend upon you to save me. That my eyes long, he says, for your salvation. What I'm straining to see, Lord, is how you're going to save me, how you're going to work all of this out. But I'm looking to the point of weary desperation. My eyes are longing for your salvation. I'm wearily looking to say, God, what in the world are you doing? Lord, let me see through the light of your salvation, just as your word promises. And Lord, I depend upon you for salvation. I entrust myself to you. I entrust you to act even on my behalf, that I don't have to take these matters into my own hands. That no matter what you face as you walk into your house, as you walk into work, as you walk into school, Lord, you have promised good to me. You've stepped in my place. Lord, you have promised salvation to me. And I long for fulfillment of your righteous promise, and what you promise, you will fulfill. And so no matter what I face, I entrust myself to you as your servant, knowing that you will save me. Totally dependent on everything that comes from his hand, dependent upon him to act, dependent upon him to work, dependent upon him to fulfill his promise. Verse 124, not only are we dependent upon the Lord to step in our place and do for us what we could not do for ourselves, and we're dependent upon the Lord to save us according to his promise. And now he says, Lord, I depend upon you as your servant in verse 124. I depend upon you to deal with me according to your love. Do you see it there? That deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. Lord, I depend upon you. I look to the cross of Jesus Christ. I depend upon you because I don't know about you, but we need to be desperately loved. Lord, tell me of your love. Lord, let me read of your love in your word. And this is what this psalm is all about. Psalm 119 is the word of the Lord, right? God, get me in this word so that I can see your love, that I can hear your love, that I can know of your love, and I can watch your love unfold along these pages, Lord, because I depend upon your love. Like, I depend upon you to give me purpose. I depend upon you to give me identity. I depend upon you to give security. I depend upon you to know that I'm wanted, that I'm loved, that I'm loved by the most. God, I depend upon that because I look in all sorts of places to find love and to find purpose and to find fulfillment. And I try to make all sorts of people and things love me in order to kind of give me some sort of identity. But that walk-up song is, Lord, I am your servant, so I'm going to look to you to love me. I'm going to look to the cross, know that I am loved, even to the point of death. And that's where I'm going to find my fulfillment. Lord, I depend upon you for love. I'm not going to depend upon other things for love, for other people to do what only you can provide. And Lord, I depend upon you to give me understanding. I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit dense at times. Anybody else a little bit dense at times? Have trouble understanding what the Lord's doing, what he's calling you to do, how to follow him. I'm a little bit dense at times. I'm a little bit needy. Lord, I am your servant. Lord, give me understanding. Anybody ever feel dense when they open the word of God and say, God, I don't know what in the world you're saying here. Lord, give me understanding. I'm your servant. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I'm your servant. You're the master that I might know your testimonies. Lord, I'm dependent upon you. Verse 126, Lord, I'm depending upon you to act. Lord, it's time for you to act, for your law has been broken. God, this servant is after your great name, right? Therefore, I love your commandments above gold and fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right, and I hate every false way. God, you've done a work in my life. I want to follow you. It's not my name. It's my master's name, and so I depend upon you for everything that I have. A servant of the Lord is absolutely dependent, and isn't a good thing to be dependent upon a dependable God who will save you, who does love you, who is gracious to you, and who has stood in your place. A servant of the Lord says, Lord, I am your servant. I depend upon you. And let's look at this second big word this morning in the next stanza. Are you ready? A servant of the Lord is dependent upon the Lord. And as your servants, Lord, we are desperate for you. In this next stanza, I think something that we see is not only our dependence, though we continue to see that, not only that we are his servant, though we continue to see that, but we see these words of desperation. And you see it here. He says, in the unfolding of your word gives light. He says, your testimonies are wonderful. He's still like reminding himself, Lord, I'm following you and your testimonies and your word, and I'm going to keep following you. But God, I'm desperate for you to unfold your word to give light. I don't know if you've ever been in a dark place or a dark situation, something is physically dark that you desperately need light. I know right now we have 3 flashlights in our house. I don't know about you, but with 3 kids, it's really hard to keep track of 3 flashlights. And it's really hard to keep track of 3 flashlights and find flashlights that still have batteries in them once you do find them. And so we have 3 new flashlights in our house, in our cabinet, with 3 new batteries in each of those 3 new flashlights. And we have 3 kids in our house, and we told those 3 kids, do not touch these flashlights. Know why? Hurricane season is here. And if we need these when the hurricane hits and the lights go out, you've been in a dark house before, right? And you need some light to unfold because you don't know how dark is until it's like hurricane dark. I know we have generators now, so it's hard to really imagine that anymore, but you get the idea, don't you? You've been in dark, and you're desperate for light. That's how he's approaching the word. Lord, I'm desperate. Lord, unfold your words, like open them up page by page and let that light begin to shine in my light, imparts understanding to the simple, to the kind of dense in mind. Lord, give me light. There's no desperation for light as much as being in desperate darkness. And so a desperate servant comes and says, Lord, I desperately need light. Unfold your word to give me light. and there's no hunger, we don't often know what this is like. There is no hunger like being desperately hungry. The closest I maybe get to that at times is maybe Friday nights at camp and eating camp food for one day, and all of a sudden you're already so desperate just for a good meal that doesn't taste like cafeteria. Who knows what's in that hamburger patty? I'm desperate for something good. Lord, listen to his desperation, verse 131. I open my mouth and I pant. I'm panting because I long for your commandments. Lord, feed me. Satisfy me. As a deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you. I'm desperately needing of your light. I'm desperately hungry for your word. And as your servants, we are desperate for you. And we know that when we become desperate, we start to see what we're dependent upon, right? Because we'll run to something when we are desperate, even to his light or to the word or to something else. And that really can get us into a pickle at times. We saw that and have seen that, haven't you, in the prodigal son. He tried to shuck independence of his good father who took care of him. And he ran and tried to make a life for himself and tried to be independent of his father. And he found himself, do you remember, in a very desperate situation that he was eating the slop of pigs. And the Bible says he finally came to himself. He was finally desperate enough. I'm telling you this morning, another thing I love sitting and talking people with, and it's a hard situation to be in, but when you find people that are desperate, that say, I have nowhere else to turn but to turn to the Lord, I tell them, you are in a really good spot. Because there are people who live their whole lives not realizing how desperate they are for the grace of God and how richly he will satisfy them. And that's where the prodigal son is. Maybe that's where you are this morning, is that you're so desperate, Lord, where else can I turn? And you get up, you come to your senses. I'm desperate for food. I'm desperate for light. You come running to the Father. And what do you find? A Father who has turned to you. Listen to what it says in verse 32. And is gracious to you. Who covers you in robes, and feeds you with the riches of fare, and satisfies your desperation in ways richer than you could imagine. And Lord, we're desperate for your light, we're desperate for your food, we're desperate to be fed, and we're desperate for you to turn to us and to see your gracious smile upon us. And that's what the servant of the Lord experiences. And that's what you experience if you are in Christ, because he has promised good to you. He has stepped in your place. And so you see the smile of the Father upon you because he has paid the record of debt that stood against you, and he welcomes you home. He turns to me and be gracious to me. Lord, I'm desperate for you to turn to me and find your grace, as is your way with those who love your name. That's what a servant, a desperate servant of the Lord finds. Lord, I'm desperate to keep my steps steady according to your promise, because we know that we try to follow, but we stumble, and that iniquity can have dominion over us. Iniquity means sin. It's things in our life that are skewed, that are bent, that are not going according to God's design, and we're not living according to God's design, and they can have dominion over us. This is warfare kind of terminology. God, don't let these things have dominion over me. I'm desperate for you to act. This is real. This is difficult. We're desperate. The Lord, to his servants, he keeps our ways steady. We're desperate for redemption. The Lord, verse 134, we're desperate for redemption. Lord, redeem me from men's oppressions, that I might keep your precepts, that I might continue to follow you and honor you and obey you with my life. Lord, make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. And my eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. Lord, I desperately need you to redeem me, and he does. Lord, I desperately need your face to shine upon me, and he does. He's asking that the light of God's face might penetrate the fog of his own sin-clouded mind and heart, that he can live day by day in the confidence of the Father's love. That's the servant of the Lord. And Lord God, as your servant, my eyes shed streams of tears. God, break my heart for people that don't know this grace, that don't know this love, that don't know this beauty and this fulfillment that I know. God, I am your servant. God, I'm desperate for others to know the love that I know of my Father. And so these verses really function as a kind of call to God-centeredness, Godwardness in crisis, and whatever you might face. I think these verses kind of function as a walk-up song for us. That whatever you face, whatever you're walking into, if what's playing in our mind, Lord, I am your servant. I'm dependent upon you. I'm desperate for you. Your face is shining upon me because of what you have done for me in Christ Jesus. You've stood in my place. The wrath of God has been satisfied. I walk in freedom. I walk in redemption. I walk in salvation. That no matter what this world brings, that holds true because your word has promised it and your word is true. So Lord, I trust in you that nothing that I face can snatch me out of your hand and can undo what you have done for me in Christ Jesus. Lord, I'm your servant. I depend upon you. I'm desperate for you. And so here we go. Let's see what tomorrow brings. Let's pray.